I nodded and Thomas took the lead. We negotiated the maze of catwalks and stairs. They had been purposefully designed to be just barely too narrow for two people to pass one another without touching, as I found out when Thomas and I passed a girl in leather shorts and a bustier, both of which strained to match themselves to a body whose curves were made ripe and inviting by the red light's primitive rhythm. She slid by Thomas, her eyes locked on his chest, as if she was about to lean over and bite him. He ignored her, but then the girl reached me, and I take up more room than Thomas. I felt her hip brush me, and she arched her back as I stepped past her, turned sideways. Her breasts pressed against my sternum, pliant, resilient warmth, and her lips were parted, her eyes too bright. Her hand brushed over my thigh, a touch that could have been accidental but wasn't, and my body was suddenly demanding that I stop for a moment and see where this would lead. You can't trust your body when it tells you stuff like that. It doesn't understand about things like actual affection, interaction, pregnancy, STDs. It just wants. I tried not to pay any attention to it, but there were other people on the catwalks, and evidently there was no such thing as a less than gorgeous woman inside Zero's walls. Most of them seemed perfectly happy to make sure I knew it as they went by. So did some of the men, for that matter, but that was less of an issue as far as my focus went. It probably didn't help matters that we were walking by things that I hadn't ever seen before, not even in movies. There was this one girl doing a thing with her tongue and an ice cube that... Look, just trust me on this one. It was distracting as hell. Thomas was walking faster as we approached the stairway leading up to the highest platform, and he took the last steps three at a time. I followed along behind him, scanning around me steadily, trying to be on the lookout for potential bad guys. This had the side effect of me getting to ogle more pretty girls than I'd ever seen in one place at one time. But it was professional ogling. One of them could have been concealing... Well, actually, I was sort of shocked at what one of them was concealing. I made it up to the last stairway just in time to see Thomas throw himself into a woman's arms. Justine wasn't particularly tall for a girl, or at least she hadn't been before she'd put on the boots with the 5-inch heels. She looked like I remembered her last, a gorgeous face that still fell into the girl-next-door category with a heart-melting smile. Her hair was silver-white and was being held in a tight bun up high on the back of her head with a pair of white chopsticks. Of course, the last time I'd seen her, she hadn't been dressed in a form-fitting white rubber cat suit that included gloves over her fingers. It emphasized absolutely everything and did it well. Thomas fell to his knees and wrapped his arms around her waist, drawing her to him. She twined her rubber-covered arms around his neck and clung tightly. Both of them closed their eyes and just stood there for a long minute, embracing without moving, just holding each other close. It was an alien act in that place. I turned away, leaned on the platform safety railing, and stared down at the club, trying to give my brother and the woman he loved a moment of privacy. Justine hadn't worn the cover-everything suit for the sake of fashion. The touch of honest love, real and selfless love, was anathema to the White Court. Thomas had told me about White Court vampires who had been badly burned by the touch of some wedding rings or the brush of a sweetheart's rose. But most dangerous of all to them was the touch of someone who was loved and who loved in return. I'd seen Thomas give himself a second-degree burn on his lips and mouth the last time he'd kissed Justine. They hadn't been together since the night she had laid down her life to save his, offering herself up to his hunger so that he could survive the evening. Thomas, in return, had refused to devour her, denying his own darker nature. It had nearly killed her anyway, turning her hair white literally overnight. It had taken her years to recover her mind after a long-term addiction to being fed upon by an incubus, but she'd done it. She was currently an assistant to Thomas's older sister, Lara, and positioned to find out all kinds of juicy details about the White Court. Being protected by love meant that the vamps couldn't feed on Justine, which Lara thought ideal in a personal assistant. It also meant that my brother couldn't touch the woman he loved. If he'd been like most of the White Court, only interested in feeding his hunger, he'd have been able to have her all he wanted. Instead, sometimes irony is a lot like a big old kick in the balls.